beyond spooky legends past, down through generations, to haunted locations that hold a ghostly past. Come one, come all, come finders and seekers, hear the creepy side of Nepa.
Welcome to The Creepy Side of Nepa. I am Dan Kozlowski. If you're new to The Creepy Side of Nepa, or maybe you just haven't done it yet, please like, subscribe, or follow The Creepy Side of Nepa on whichever podcast platform that you're listening to us on. That way you'll never miss a new episode. Also, don't forget to like WNEP's Creepy Side of Nepa on Facebook. That is the best way to always be informed on the latest show information. Joining us this evening is Dustin Perry. If that name sounds familiar to you, probably because he is one of the original cast members on Sci-Fi Network's paranormal hit TV show, Ghost Hunters, and also a cast member on Ghost Hunters International. Dustin traveled the country, actually the world, ghost investigating. Dustin will be stopping in our area at the Sherman Theater on Saturday, May 11th, as one of the tour stops for his show, Ghost, Do You Believe? Dustin, welcome to the show tonight.
Thanks so much, Dan. Happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here, Dustin.
Excellent.
I'm sure you have a busy schedule to make some time for us.
Well, life is very busy, my friend, but you gotta slow down once in a while, right? You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yep, I totally agree with you. So I see here you're coming to the Sherman Theater in Strasbourg in this coming May 11th?
Yeah, we're bringing the new traveling theater show. It's called Ghost, Do You Believe? And it's a one-man show. In two acts, we've got about an hour of some great stories and history and evidence, and we'll follow it up with a little question and answer on the back end. I think it's going to be a wonderful time for people. I think it's going to be a little bit more than what they're expecting, too, which is exciting for me.
So do you show evidence there in some recordings and whatnot over the years?
Yeah, there will be some photographic evidence, some audio. And a lot of great storytelling to be putting it all together, you know?
Yeah, we don't want to give too much away. We want to have them a little surprised when they get there.
That's right. There's some surprises. Don't worry.
Now, I'm looking here over your bio, and it looks like you took a part in a lot of the paranormal shows that everyone has seen in the past on Sci-Fi and networks like that.
Yeah, Sci-Fi, Travel Channel, done crossover work with Destination Truth back when Josh Gates was over there. Ghost Nation, when kind of Ghost Hunters split up for a couple of years. And I was interviewed by Anderson Cooper when he used to have his talk show. And, you know, lots of different things like that. It's really been a blessed experience. I really enjoy getting out there and meeting so many people. We do so many events a year. I mean, this tour itself is like 36 stops. And
Wow, that keeps you busy then.
Yeah, for sure. I think my regular events were somewhere over 70 on this year, so it's going to be a fantastic time on the road.
And every time I talk to people, it seems like Ghost Hunters is one of the original shows that sort of sparked the country's interest in the paranormal.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people say we were the first. We weren't really the first. I mean, there's some great historical shows that talked about, like, you know, the unexplained and all these things. I remember watching when I was a kid. But when it came to an investigation show,
What I meant, more investigation type.
Yeah, when it comes to investigation shows, we're definitely amongst the first, and the first to really do it the way we do it, where we try to kind of disprove things, you know, more than try to prove things.
Sure. I remember seeing your show, and they always, not always, but a lot of times some of the stuff is explained. What I know, a lot of you guys had backgrounds in plumbing and all that kind of stuff on the show, and you kind of explain stories that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Jane Grant were the plumbers of the team. I used to work for CBS and Fox News for many years, so I know a lot about, you know, lighting and photographs and anomalies. And then I also have been a healthcare professional as an anesthesia assistant for over 20 years now. So,
well, that's a little turn from the news business.
Yeah, a little bit, my friend. After 9/11, I went from being a camera operator to an EMT.
I direct the news right here at WNEP. I just directed our 7 o'clock newscast, and I hopped over here and did a quick interview with you.
Fantastic. I respect the hustle.
So what got you into the paranormal?
I always say, like, we all have our gateway ghosts. You know, we have things that really first piqued our interest. And one of the stories that I share in the Ghost You Believe tour is my first encounter with what we would call a shadow figure. And as a young kid, you know, this terrified me. I didn't know what the heck it was or sure. why it was, but it planted that seed in my head. And I wanted to know more about it. And that's kind of what started all of this. And that, I was like 9 years old at the time. So it's been quite the journey.
Yeah. And over the years, I'm sure kind of built up to what it is today. You've seen that first thing as a child and now you're going around helping others.
Yeah, it's been the best part of it is just helping others to understand hauntings, why they may happen. And I think more is, for me, the payoff is kind of stoking that fire and getting people to ask questions about their own human experience while they're here. You know, I always put into every interview, every book, everything I've ever done, I really believe that we are spirits going through a human experience. I don't believe we're from here. I don't believe we stay here. So I think we could be doing a better job while we are here together. But I think it's good for us to ask those questions and to wonder about this life, the afterlife, and what comes next for us.
Yeah, there's a lot there that is unexplained, that's for sure. There's a lot that people keep on guessing about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I also don't think we're meant to know the answers to all these things either. I think it's good for us to
learn. I agree with you. Yep.
Yeah.
And I think every year we kind of find more out because if you look back, it seems like the stuff that was unexplained back even 50 years ago is now explained.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of things that, you know, we learn as we go. I mean, not even just in the paranormal realm, but just things in our natural physical world that we just didn't understand at the time, you know? I mean, I think at one point the sun went around us, you know, yep. And then as time persisted, we're like, oh, okay. Like, and there's nothing wrong with those early ideas and understandings as long as you're willing to progress and understand that, hey, we're learning as we go, and it's good. I think a lot of times people stick so much to their truth that even when it's proven to be false, they feel stupid for changing the story, but it's good to adapt the narrative as we go.
I totally agree with you. You got to adapt to your surroundings.
Yeah, learn as we go.
So over all your experiences on Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, Destination Truth, I know you traveled the country, you went out of the country, you basically traveled the world.
Yeah.
Where do you think most of the paranormal experiences are? Do you think there's a lot here in the United States compared to other countries?
Well, you know, here in the U.S., I'm definitely a little spoiled growing up in Rhode Island, being in New England here, because we have a lot of not just early Native American settlers here, but not just the early Natives that were here, but then also we have a lot of early American settlers that came here. So there is a lot of story, a lot of history, unfortunately, a lot of conflict, but that does also tend to give us a little bit more of paranormal activity from time to time. But I'd also have to say, you know, being over in Europe was amazing. The UK I really fell in love with. It was like walking around a fairy tale. I mean, there's a castle here, there's a castle there, and there's all these amazing stories of the paranormal, not just ghost stories, but, you know, they get into the fae, the collective term for the fairy folk, and the natural elements and all the things that are there. It's just really an immersive and amazing experience to spend time over in the UK and specifically Ireland.
Sure. It seems like, well, just about anywhere, the more history in an area, the more possibility for paranormal experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The more history we have, the better chance we have of experiencing something.
I know since I started the show back in 2019, and I thought I was just going to do a few episodes for like a Halloween special, and the more viewers keep calling in with different stories and stuff, I'm amazed just at the stories in our northeastern part of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think that it's good that people share those stories and those experiences. You know, I remember when I was a kid, after having my first experience, I was afraid to tell anybody. Like, I didn't even tell my parents until many years later when they saw Ghost Hunters and they saw me tell, you know, my origin ghost story right there on air. Like, I was afraid to tell anybody. I was like, they're going to think I'm nuts. So I just kind of kept it quiet. And I think that's one of the nice things about being a part of shows like Ghost Hunters is it allowed us to kind of bring that conversation into society and allow people to talk about it without feeling so strange.
Sure. I think it came a long way over the last few years, to be honest. Ever since even when I was growing up, the past 15, 20 years, it seemed to make a big stride in being more, I guess you would say, accepting.
Yeah, for sure. I think it went from something that, you know, people talked about in hushed tones to something that people thought was could be very sensationalistic and you had to be afraid of it, to now it becoming, at least for me, I believe in the people I've experienced things with, is becoming more spiritual and very intriguing. I mean, yeah, a lot of people still like the shock value of it, and it's good sometimes to have that adrenaline rush when you're afraid, but for me, it's a bigger story to talk about how the spirit world is around us all the time and that we do have the ability to still interact with it.
Yeah, I've got to say, yes, there is a shock there. There is a little bit of adrenaline, but it isn't all scary.
Right, absolutely not. And I try not to ever play up that scary side. Do I still get spooked? For sure. There's things
we all
I don't
do.
Like
yep.
Pop out, I don't like pop out scary things. I hate when all of a sudden there's a loud noise. It startles me. But to see an apparition, to have an EVP, you know, a recording of someone's voice, like those moments are really precious. And there's a tangible magic to it all.
So over all your years ghost investigating, did you have any place that really was one of your favorites, one place in particular that really stuck with you?
You know, here in the States, I'd say St. Augustine Lighthouse has always been a favorite of mine. That was down in Florida. It was one of our early episodes, I think in season 2 or 3. And that was the first time I had seen a full body apparition. And that really, after years of exploring by myself and with friends out in the woods and random places, to finally see something like that. It just because you start to question yourself, you know, like, is this stuff real? Like, I haven't seen anything in so long. And then to see this woman in that lighthouse, just I remember freezing in my tracks. I'm like, I don't even know what to do now. I've been looking for this for years. What's the next step? I don't know. I've never got this far, you know?
Yeah, you never thought it would actually happen.
Yeah, indeed. But I mean, I could see the curls in her hair. I could see the pleats in her dress. If I had any artistic ability, I could draw what it looked like. But it was so amazing.
I actually remember seeing that episode way back when it aired on Sci-Fi Network.
Yeah, that was cool. We had shadow figures there. We had the woman there. We had, we still go back there to do events, and we get EVPs in like a very heavy Spanish dialect, which ties into the founding of the Spanish settlers there. It's an amazing place. It's such a beautiful city.
Was that one of the most active places you've been at?
One of the most active, overall, the most active place I've ever been was at the Clark Air Base out in the Philippines. And that was a place that was an outpost for our soldiers at the end of World War II and also in Vietnam. Only place I've ever been where everything that the client told us he had experienced within the 2 to 3 nights we were there, one team member or another shared those experiences. The only place I've ever been where everything on that list we checked off. We saw a misty white figure. We heard footsteps. We recorded EVPs. We actually heard disembodied voices of American soldiers. We actually had a recording of two soldiers talking to each other. It was amazing. And for me, the ultimate payoff, yes, spiritually, the place was super active, but our host, the guy that brought us in there, was an elderly man who was at one time a security guard there. And when he reported these stories, people said he was nuts. People said he was a drunk. People gave him a hard time in town, said he lied. And we played this audio back for him. We showed him the evidence that we gathered. And this nice, proud man just broke down in tears because finally he had proof that he wasn't crazy and that he was telling the truth and that other people also experienced it. And it was just such an amazing moment to share with this gentleman, to see his realization of it and to give him something tangible to show others. So that was by far my favorite case.
Yeah, I mean, to give someone evidence, especially, I'm sure, like you were saying, everyone was saying he was crazy. And yeah. Now he has something to show those people.
Right. Absolutely. He was such a great guy. He broke down crying so much we had to stop filming. We were doing like the reveal scene where we showed the evidence and like he needed to be consoled. Like it meant so much to him. It was so cool.
And where was that location again?
That was in the Philippines at the Clark Air Base.
So was that on Ghost Hunters International then?
Yes, sir. Yes, it was.
What was one of your favorite shows to work on if you had to pick one?
Dracula's Castle in Romania. Absolutely nothing happened there. But, but that was the one that was like, that was satiating my inner child. You know, the stupid little kid with the bowl cut back in grade school, reading stories about the ghosts of the world and seeing on TV like most haunted places and seeing the steps that go up to Dracula's castle and thinking, oh my God, this is going to be the most amazing place. And for 2 nights, I walked up those 1,300 steps, whatever it was, carried all our gear up there, investigated in the rain, even though there's no roof or anything, because production's like, this is the only time we have. Like, you have to do it now. and the case absolutely was god-awful with nothing to show for it. But the personal satisfaction of standing on top of that mountain, knowing, like, you know, unfortunately some horrible things happened there, but knowing that this was a place of legend that I read about and wanted to visit from being a kid, and to suddenly be here, it was just so personally gratifying.
Yeah, just to say that you're actually there was one thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So amazing. Romania is a cool place too. Just there's parts of it that feel like New York City, like when you're in Cluj-Napoca, like it's, you feel like you're in New York, you know, and then you're out in this backwoods and you haven't seen a house for hours. It's so, so different. Amazing.
Sounds creepy in parts.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, for sure.
It definitely seems like you found your fair share of paranormal activity over the years.
Yeah, definitely more than most. I've been very blessed. I've been to like 26 or 27 countries, you know, and I've slept in chateaus and castles, and you don't see a lot of apparitions. Like, you know, you don't witness a ton of those, but you get a lot of EVPs, you get a lot of interaction. And for me, it's never been about the evidence. I know for the show purpose, we need that. But
sure,
for me, it's just about that connection. And there's those moments where the other side is almost tangible. You just feel it in the air and you know you're not alone. It's really just, it makes me feel good to know that the spirit world is so alive, because we're all kind of afraid of going through this life. We're afraid of death. But to know the other side is real brings you a lot of comfort.
Yeah, I do have to agree with that. And one thing that people at home viewing the shows don't think about is all the production work that goes into it. And also, I'm sure you guys are spending hours of investigating just to get that 30-minute show put together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and having a production background, I can always respect and appreciate that without our production team out there, you know, we wouldn't have a show. We wouldn't look as good as we did. But sometimes I pick up a camera and I'd shoot some B-roll and stuff. They let me do that. And anytime I had my own personal camera for investigation, I would try to film some production shots and give them other angles and things. So I was kind of like an added value to the show when I was out there for that. But yeah, the storytelling that was done cinematically, I think, was fantastic. They did such a good job bringing something very new, you know, even reality TV being a new medium very much at the time, and to show paranormal investigating and to allow us to do what we do without any encumbrances, without telling us we had to fake anything, or without telling us we had to recreate anything. Sometimes nothing happened. We've done cases and filmed them for nights where nothing happened, which is okay. But if we also can't debunk or explain the experiences, well, we have no stories to tell.
Right.
And so it just, nothing airs and you stay on the road and you film another place, you know, but it spoke to the reality of what we do. And I thought that was really good that they allowed us to do that.
And one question I always thought watching the shows, how difficult is it going through all that evidence?
Oh, my God, it's mind-numbing. I remember being so excited to watch the DVR. I want to watch the DVR. I want to watch it. I thought I'd have to wrestle people to watch it. And then after the first time, I'm like, oh, my God, this hurts. It's just, you're staring at, you know, a quad camera, or you're staring at individual tapes, and you're watching it for 12 hours. And so, like, you get to take little breaks, you know, your eyes are getting tired. And it's like, oh, I spent half a day just laying on a bed watching a screen.
Yeah, because it isn't something I'm sure you can't fast forward through any of that. You have to watch it in real time.
There was a case we did in South America. Oh, I don't know, it was a Hotel Combaquia. I can't remember the name of the place. But there was, so, you know, in television, right? So in video, we've got 24 frames a second.
Mm-hmm.
There was one frame. 1/24th of a second where we had a full apparition of a figure standing in a hallway. This young lady, Angela Alderman, that was working with us at the time, caught it. I mean, to watch it in real time, it's a quick flick.
Yeah.
You know, if you blink, you miss it. But she saw something and slowed it down and advanced it frame by frame. And sure enough, one frame, there's this apparition standing there, and then it's gone. And we started thinking a lot about time, and we started using our still cameras, leaving the aperture open longer, taking long exposures, and we started to get more evidence that way, because we think that some of these activities, some of these apparitions aren't quite in the same time that we are, and that allows us better opportunity to gather that evidence.
Yeah, like I can't imagine sitting looking at video for 12 hours and catching that one on that one frame.
Right, and sometimes that's all you get, and sometimes you don't even get that.
Sure.
So it's amazing.
Because once you're watching the screen, I'm sure you go crazy
after
a couple of hours.
I remember once I moved up in the ranks a little bit, by the time I got to international, I just wanted to review audio, because audio you can put on while you lay in bed. Audio you can put on while you take a walk. You know, you're not chained to sitting there staring at this monitor in your room. Like, you take breaks, obviously, because you go crazy, your eyes get dried out. But there's very little reward. Plus, the DVR, as sexy as this piece of equipment is, and everybody wanted to watch it, there is probably the least amount of evidence gathered on that. You're much more likely to get something on audio than you are on video.
Yeah, at least the audio, you can put your headphones on and go about your day a little bit.
Yeah, that's it.
So do you still do ghost investigating?
Yeah, still do stuff here in New England. Still do events like every weekend. You know, I was on the road last weekend in Michigan. I'm on the road this weekend in Iowa. So I still do a lot of event investigations, but I still will do home investigations in the Rhode Island, Mass, Connecticut area as well. So I'm always happy to do that. And it's fun to try to help people to understand what goes on in their homes.
Do you have any tips for anyone at home that might be experimenting or experiencing something paranormal?
Don't give in to fear. Really kind of be thoughtful about what's going on. Understand that a lot of what we experience is open to our interpretation. So if you're someone who is of a negative mindset, or you've been told that these are things to be afraid of, you may automatically do that. It could be very much a loved one trying to just let you know they're here. And the only thing they can do is focus their energy and knock that glass over. The only thing they can do is tap you on the shoulder. And it's not meant to be scary. It's just a way of reaching out when you have very limited communication abilities. So really be mindful of it and you know, be thoughtful of what's going on before you jump to some horrible conclusion of demons and portals and all these things that people get wrapped up in. It's not quite like that.
Yeah, Hollywood likes to make it look creepy and scary, which it is a little scary, especially if you're experiencing something you're not expecting. But
absolutely,
it really isn't all that scary when you think about it.
No.
For the most part, anyway.
It's been my experience for over 30 years that very seldom are things of any type of dark nature or anything that means you any harm. It's just their only way of communicating. So it's always funny to me when I see people screaming and yelling into the dark, which is very disrespectful, demanding something happen, and then something happens and they run away. I'm like, I don't understand what your purpose was.
Yeah, they got what they wanted.
Right. So I always say, treat it like a blind date. You literally can't see them. And the best thing you can do is offer something of yourself, you know, tell them who you are, talk out loud, feels weird, ask them who they are, just be respectful and try to engage into some type of exchange.
I think there are very good words right there.
Thank you, sir.
So once again, you'll be coming to the Sherman Theater. It starts at 8 p.m. on May 11th.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. Ghosts Do You Believe. You can get your tickets at ghostsdoyoubelieve.com. It's going to be a fantastic show. I'm looking forward to getting there.
Okay, I wish you all the luck of your upcoming show.
All right, thanks so much. Have a great one.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for joining us tonight.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Creepy Side of NEPA. If you have a story you would like to share, or maybe just an idea for an upcoming episode, we would love to hear from you. Please email us at ghost@wnap.com. Or you could also contact us through our Facebook page, WNAP's Creepy Side of NEPA. Until next time, enjoy The Creepy Side of NEPA.
This has been The Creepy Side of NEPA. If you have a spooky story that took place in northeastern or central Pennsylvania, send it to ghost@wnap.com for your chance to share it on an upcoming episode. We're dying to hear from you. Ha ha ha!